Do you think there is any trust left in this fishery, the Queensland Fisheries and Fisheries Queensland?
No, just on a personal level, Eric, no, I don't. I think there's zero trust. I've been in numerous meetings with you, with Fisheries Queensland and or Fisheries Minister. I've had, I don't know how many meetings on my own as an independent fisherman, meeting with members of Parliament and things like that. And while they all sit there across the table and smile and nod their head and, yes, mate, we understand and we'll take that on board and we want to keep the door open and keep the dialogue flowing, 5 minutes after you walk out that door, you know, it appears that they treat us like fools. You know, they treat us like uneducated bloody fools. Now, most of us have been running our own businesses for most of our lives, and the sheer fact that we're still here running those businesses 30, 40, 50 years later, that tells me that we're not uneducated fools, you see?
No, I got to say, when I first started in this industry, some people, and I won't mention their names, said to me, give it 10 years and you'll see the same arguments just recirculating. And I'm 10 years in and I haven't seen a change. In fact, I think it's gotten worse, that there's been an infiltration into, and I hope our friends in the Green Shirts movement and other ag sectors can pull me up on this if I'm wrong, but I think the infiltration of the politically correct Fisher Friends, Not Food Brigade, anti-food production has impacted the political level and our public servants to the degree that, and I say this with a heavy heart, that the policy that they're making is not even to our benefit or the benefit of food production overall, don't worry about, let alone to the advantage of a single operator, that if they could, they would get one or two or three operators in every fishery and just have massive corporate fisheries running the show and leave it at that, so that it would be just easier to manage these fisheries. And one of the things that I've seen that is a strength in at least this state, and I can't speak for any other states, is that we have everything from micro one-person businesses to vertically integrated businesses and everything in between, providing seafood of hundreds of different varieties to Queensland consumers every year. And that is under a big degree of threat, whether the government wants to admit it or not, which leads to my last question. And look, I appreciate your time on this, and I know you're busy, so I won't keep you for too much longer, but the question that comes into my mind is, without being too catastrophic, what do you think is in the future for us if we maintain this kind of fishery policy approach, mate?
If we keep going down the road of being dictated to by Fisheries Queensland, I'd see our future pretty bleak. You know, I don't want to be the bearer of doom and gloom, but I'll just say it how it is. Now, has been mentioned numerous times before, and I think in your last podcast with Tony, talked about investment warnings. Now, while those investment warnings are in place, and they've been in place for a bloody long time, we have got no new young recruitment coming into our industry. Now, Fisheries Queensland, they've just made it too hard. I don't know why they've made it so difficult, but, you know, it makes me wonder, is that there hasn't been the agenda the whole time, or have they made it just too hard out of sheer ignorance of how our businesses and our industry works? You know, when we get older, who are we going to sell our businesses to in the future? What do we do with our stranded assets that are worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and more, if we've got no new young recruitment coming in, because it is just getting too difficult with bureaucracy and red tape, fees that we're having to be, and, you know, we're enduring that have been forced upon us, you know, as in VMS, you know, Safe Food Production, soon to have cancer fees, things like that. And if we go to quota or to quota managed fisheries, there's another imposition of cost on us.
So where does it stop? Sorry, mate, just for those listening, Safe Food Production Queensland is the food safety regulator in this state, of which we have to pay fees on top of Fisheries Queensland for doing what we do. And ANSA is an acronym for the Australian Maritime Safety Authority. That particular body is an amalgamation of the different states who used to manage vessel safety, and now it's being managed out of Canberra. But that's a podcast for another time. Look, I appreciate your views on this, mate, and it's these conversations need to be had out loud because people need to see the other side of the debate, because politicians will use their buzzwords like managing our fisheries for our children and our grandchildren into the future. This was I'm paraphrasing the words that our minister used, but that it's anything but that, and it seems that we're managing our fisheries for a selected few people who either want the fishery for themselves, and I point the finger at the radical recreational fishing groups, and for those that don't want us fishing, which is the environmental groups, which has always been a bit of a, I don't know if joke is the right word, you might have a different word to use, but I look at it like this, when we're being buried or cremated as an industry, where do you think the green groups are going to aim that target next? That's going straight at the recreational fisher.
Of course they will. You know, that's the old divide and conquer technique, and to date it's worked, you know, to a degree. Now, you know, from what I've seen since I was a kid, started fishing at a very early age, and to this present day, I've been heavily involved in management side and political sides and things like that. And my personal view, what I've experienced with Fisheries Queensland, it's a systemic, toxic, lazy fisheries management. You know, I couldn't be any more blunt than that. It's while we've got that going on, and that while that culture exists within Fisheries Queensland, they're in this state, then the future of our wild catch fisheries, from what I can see, is very uncertain.
So where do you think the future of the commercial fisheries is under this current state government, mate?
What I can say to people is that, you know, we all know this is an election year, and I think, or I hope, that this is a year that we can make change and we as an industry can be heard, and we need to stand collectively as a united industry. And this is the biggest fight for survival that most of us will probably ever face in our fishing careers. And people listening can do this by joining QSIA. They join us, they can share problems that they encounter, they can bring proactive ideas to the table, they can bring ideas on what they would like to see in future fisheries management. And as Tony Reisenweber said in a previous podcast, that we've put together a brilliant legal team with two barristers and a well-respected law firm, and we intend to take Fisheries Queensland on and fight for our rights to be able to make a living and supply the community with fresh fish that they can trust has been sourced locally. After all, it's a public resource, and those people that don't, won't or can't go fishing, they too have a right to their share of that resource. And that right comes in the form of us supplying, from professional fishermen or professional fishers, that fresh product on their table. We've got the means, the capacity and the determination to fight elements of this reform to the end. So I'll say it again. Anyone wanting to help us to secure their fishing in the fishing industry, contact Eric and join QSIA today and help us to help you secure your future.
Thanks, Shane. For those listening, this has been the QSIA podcast series. Thanks again, and I'll catch you all on the next podcast.